Hey guys, I'm Caleb from Taurus USA, and we're going to skip most of the intro. The show is sponsored by Taurus USA and guns.com because we were talking about something before we rolled on this and we decided to roll on it. So I'm just going to lead in with the next. We were talking about hunting. So I am not what you would call an avid hunter. I have done plenty of activities that are technically and legally described as hunting. But I was about to
I don't really care
100%
about that.
reject
I know why, but
the statement that you don't earn the shot in certain types of hunting. Because if I have to hike a mile up a hill to shoot across a canyon at 340 yards in fading light, laying prone on a pile of sharp rocks, I feel like that's earning the shot, regardless of whether or not I'm taking, I don't disagree that you earn the shot just as much taking it in a heavily wooded scenario either, because I've done those too. But I think the definition of earning the shot is entire situ is situationally dependent, because I don't feel like you're earning the shot if you're sitting in a tree stand waiting for some dumb deer to wander into your gun sights.
so that is something that I early on, I've been hunting since I was nine, I think was my first hunt. I started hunting squirrel, and that's kind of like a humorous hunt and like it's a little kid hunt, but there's a lot you learn about hunting squirrel, about as far as like walking in the woods and things like that. And I initially was not a big fan of tree stand hunting. I would rather ground hunt. What I have learned over the years and what I've come to appreciate about a good tree stand, is it gives you a better look on the environment safety wise, that on the ground you don't get.
Sure, I wouldn't disagree with that, having sat in tree stands myself, but I don't think that you can make the argument that, oh,
Now,
so if
Caleb.
we're talking about the idea of earning the shot, right? Like getting
Yes.
yourself into a position to make the
So
shot,
what is
that's
earning the
different than what Jack and I are talking about. okay,
So
then what the fuck
what
are
I
you
mean
talking
by
about?
earning the shot is I have to take, so as a hunter, one of my requirements is that I take good, clean conscience shots on an animal, that I'm not winging it. I know my good distance, I've got a good zero, I've got good shot placement, and I satisfy all the safety concerns of where that bullet's going to go, where the animal's going to go after it's shot, and everything else. So, like, you could have a clear shot, but you don't have a good backdrop on it.
Sure.
You haven't earned your shot. Now, are some guys just going to send it because they're like, well, what are the chances the bullet's really going to work its way through? Hey, man, you don't know.
I had a clean exit on this axis deer I just shot,
Right, and you
and that
shot in.
bullet fucked it up.
Right. So, in my
And
opinion,
you were probably led into an environment where most of your shots were going to be safe. Like
well, yeah.
that area had been prepped for you
No. versus like
Nope,
property hunting
no.
and
So
tree
hang on,
stand.
back up. No, the area had not been prepped in any way, shape, or form. But I was hunting in a I was hunting on a facility that is also used as a shooting range. So there's the it's hard to explain what FCW Ranch is if you haven't been there, but it's awesome. But no, there was in that scenario, there was no backstop issue because my backstop was the side of a mountain. And
Right.
there
But
that
yeah,
I
but
knew
you're
or
on
that I
a
knew there were no
property
people
where
on.
one of the events is hunting.
Yeah. Yes. One of
So
the
there's
things that
that
you
way
can
the
do
property
is
is
hunt
prepped
there
for you.
that you can
You did
pay
not
for.
prep that. So comparatively to where I might be hunting on somebody's farm, which is the current land that I use, I have to consider there are people in the backdrops, there are houses in the backdrops, there are domesticated animals in my environment as well. So, like, I stack a lot of stuff as to my responsibilities. I don't think it changes what the difference is. They're both difficult. A 350 yard shot is not a shot my current hunting rifle is set up to make,
Right.
because it's not the environment I hunt in. I would also I would change my entire day's loadout. What goes with me to hunt deer here would change completely if I was hunting out there.
Oh, for sure. I mean, what I have set up, you know, on my South Carolina rifle is a 30-30 with a red dot on it, because
Right.
I don't, in the places that I have access to shoot things, I don't have an ethical shot that's further than 100 yards,
Right.
because I've got trees and brush and all this bull crap in between me and the
My
target.
maximum range shot for all of my properties in up here in Michigan is 220 yards, and that's into my neighbor's field that I have permission to take a certain lane shot into. It's not on my property anymore. That ends at like 126. And then a big thing for me is like making sure I understand where this animal is going to go next. If you don't drop the animal right away, you can end up hurting the animal more than you need to, by being overly eager in your pursuit. So having an idea of like, okay, hey, the deer bolted, it's probably going to go 50 yards that direction, which is the easiest path it has. And the deer's not feeling it yet. And it's pumping. And I want it to slow down, stop, lay down, and die. I don't want to chase it and have it run another 400 yards into directions that I might not be totally clear about where it's running to and what it's going to run into. So you kind of like, for me, there is some thought that goes past just like, okay, hey, what's the shot going to, what's my post shot look like? And being a hunter, being someone who's hunted animals and like had to learn like that the job isn't done after the bullet goes off, affected a lot about how I thought about self-defense. Of like, you, this is a full service event. Your post shot incident can be just as critical as pre and during.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because you get the, you know, I was in a situation again referencing this axis hunt where the deer was very polite in where it decided to stop and turn broadside, because it was about 5 yards off a twin track that we could get a Jeep
Ooh.
up, which was great. I was like, oh, this is a really like, please. So he's walking down this, and if he had turned broadside 10 yards further up the hill, I would have had to climb up a 40-degree hill to drag his stupid ass down. But he decided to come in a little bit. And I'm like, turn, turn, and turn. And I'm like, oh man. And I didn't even, you know, at the
Thank
time,
you.
I didn't even really think, I didn't perceive the road, but I knew that there was he was in like a nice flat spot. I'm like, flat spot, better than hill.
Again,
I
I have done the hill and through the woods drag, and of course that was
oh.
the heaviest deer, and Michigan whitetail get heavier than me, so this deer had 30 pounds on me. It was massive and corn-fed, and I had to drag it to a spot where I could even just gut it so I could lighten it by 40 pounds.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that I said while I was at this event, and that remains true after this event, and this is largely because I did not grow up hunting, right? That's not part of my DNA. I shot squirrels in the backyard, but it wasn't a hunting thing, it was shooting. The vast majority of my hunting experiences are really just shootings, in the sense that I am not like my, you know, pheasant hunting is not hunting in the like, I'm walking through a field with a shotgun and a bunch of my friends, sober, of course. You never would do that with having 6 or 12 beers on board. But
And
that's true.
if you make Cheney shoot you in the face, you better apologize to
Absolutely. But
that
like, well,
man.
and what I re and you know, one of the things that was true before this and is still true to me after this is, by and large, my interest in hunting stems from an interest in novel marksmanship challenges versus an interest in, you know, taking the game and the pursuit and all of that stuff. But I did find that actually having to maneuver on this animal to get close enough to put an ethical shot on it was a lot of fun. I'm like, this is fun. I like this. I like that we've spotted this thing, you know, a kilometer and a half away, and now we need to maneuver into position to actually put an ethical shot on it, because I definitely wasn't about to take a 500-yard poke at a 200-pound deer with a 308. That was
That's
beyond my comfort. That would have been beyond my comfort level.
I would like to try a 300-yard hunt at some point, because I'm sure like the watching the animal through the scope is totally different. But like there's something for me where I'll be in a ground blind under a tree for like 2-3 hours watching a creek bed, and I hear that first hoof on a dry, like 10 yards behind me, and I'm like you'll feel like, bro,
You're like,
there's
it's that same little bit of
predator.
electricity through your body
Yeah,
every single
you get a
time.
real predator moment, right?
When you hear the real hoof, not the fake hoof, which is always a fucking squirrel, it's
Right.
always a squirrel, but the real hoof beat of that heavy animal taking a step, and you're like, oh, and then you draw lines in your head, like, all right, he's
You're
probably
trying to
coming
figure
in
out
this
where he's
way, he's
at.
probably coming in this way. That means I'm gonna spot her right about here. And then I'm gonna probably have shots here and here, maybe here, depending on where they go from there. And then you just wait and listen and enjoy. The electricity just runs up and down you. And that can be 2-3 hours. And sometimes they don't go where you want and you never
Oh,
get that shot.
yeah.
I will tell you the most tense moment on this particular hunt. I can think of two hunts where I've had particular where I've had reasonably tense moments. This one was so we had hiked up 1 kilometer into this mountain and we were trying to maneuver over to this finger to get within about 200 yards of the deer. And we get to where we're going to make the transition to the finger. And in between us and the thing is a 30-foot deep canyon full of pricker bushes. And I'm like, I'm not going through, we're not going through that because it's like straight down. So we set up there and the deer's at like 400 and it keeps coming in and we're ranging it and it gets down and it's coming in head on at me, right? So it's like chest on, I don't have a shot. And at some point I said, I don't remember saying this out loud, but I was told that I said out loud, please turn, please turn, please turn. And it very obligingly turned broadside to me. And I knew that I was, and I knew that at 350, which is about where he turned broadside, he came in another 10 or so yards. I knew I could get that shot. But laying there in an up, so I'm laying on a down slope of a hill with my legs higher than my head and my body in this fucked up U shape, waiting for this guy to turn. That was the tense part. And what was interesting was that was the tense part because I didn't know what was going to happen. When he turned broadside, I knew what was going to happen next because then I was just shooting, right? That was a shoot. That was no longer I think in my I wasn't hunting him anymore. I had hunted him into the position to get myself up to take the shot. Now it was just shooting. And shooting's easy. Shooting's not easy. I shouldn't say that. I've taken a lot of difficult shots under pressure that I wasn't really worried about that because I'd spent the last 2 days shooting the gun, making sure that it did everything, dialing and playing with all this shit. So I'm like, well, there's no wind. And if he just stops, and if he stops moving and just puts his head down to eat some of that grass, I'm gonna light his ass up. So I think that was what was interesting about it for me was the parts that I found adrenalizing and really interesting was everything but actually pulling the trigger. The act of pulling the trigger by that point, and again, thanks to the training and stuff like that, and you know, the past experiences was fairly academic.
I think it's interesting how few people in modern shooting are hunters.
Yeah, that's true.
I would encourage more people to like go on hunts that are facilitated by events. As a person who does it on his own, I can tell you like there's a success rate issue. I just had a friend who did an all female night vision hunting for hogs event, and
That
I'm
sounds,
like, that's cool.
yeah.
And this is a person who doesn't own a rifle.
Okay.
She was like, I wonder if I can rent one. I'm like, rent one? Like me and my other buddy were like, the hell you will. And we like started opening up cases and like
Like, here's
throwing
one.
the, yeah, like
Well, I do think, you know, stuff like that is, I think stuff like that's a lot of fun, you know, and it's, I will probably never be the guy who like gets excited about, well, no, not probably. I will never be the guy who gets excited to get out of bed at 3 in the morning to drive to this place where I've been watching, you know, trail cams and stuff like that. And here's the fun thing. That's okay. Like, and like,
Yeah, that's
because I'm not,
perfect.
because I'm not about to go out. I'm also not going to go out and be like, I am a hunter now, because I'm not, guys. I am a shooter who has had some really fun hunting experiences.
You're a person
And
who has gone hunting.
yeah, I am a person who is, and that's the thing. I am a person who has gone hunting. I am a person who will go hunting again in the future. But I am not, and I'm never, but I'm never gonna, I'm not about to go start like a hunter Instagram, right? Like ethical harvesting, whatever, you know. I'm not qualified to do that any more than I would be qualified to start like an urban precision marksman course because I've had two long range rifle classes.
But, that won't stop anyone else from doing
No, it's definitely not. Like
bruh.
I'm taking my second one in June, so I'm pretty much an expert at this point.
Yeah,
I got
absolutely.
exposed to it last year, so might as well start teaching it.
Yeah, of course. No, that makes perfect sense, right? I now
I'm
know the difference between first focal plane and second focal plane and how to dial for windage and elevation.
I have taken so many precision classes, and every time they start talking about second versus first, you can like w watch my brain go like, like I just shut down. I'm done. I don't want to care.
The class I took at FTW Ranch, which I recommend, and I'll do an unpaid for promo here for these guys, because if you want to get, so they don't just do hunt experiences or anything like that. They also just do precision marksmanship courses. They have special operations comes out there and uses their facility to train and stuff like that. So if you want to learn about precision rifle shooting and all of that stuff, book a class from them. They even have loaner guns. They'll loan you a 6.5 PRC or something like that, and you get to go shoot a cool
What
gun.
were you using, by the
I was
way?
using the Taurus Expedition in
Oh, okay.
308. And for ammo, I
Really?
had, yeah. Well, you know, and it's the gun from the company that pays my
Well,
bills.
no.
So
I was just I was surprised you haven't like a 6.5 or something.
6.5 isn't out yet. It's coming soon.
Oh,
And
okay.
that's not really a spoiler. Everyone knows that if you make a 308, you're gonna make a 6.5. So
Shocking.
yeah, I know.
Shocking.
No, but we launched it in 308, and I have one of those samples. And I had the new I will say the ammo that I had was fucking fantastic. I had the S&B 165 grain solid copper round, which has a way better BC than most other 308s. So we actually got hits at 1,000 yards on a plate with that thing. Like once we got it dialed and we figured out the holdover, because I ran out of elevation on my scope at 1,000 yards. I was like, crank, 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 crank. That's 37 MOA. Let's send one. Short. Okay, hang on. Elevate the turrets.
I have with a 308 been able to make an 1,148 yard shot.
Yeah,
That was with a
buddy.
nice spicy 168 out of an L96. And
Was it a Sierra Match King? Was that the
yeah,
bullet? Yeah, of course.
I did 948 yards with 150 grain all copper round.
Those all copper
Copper
rounds have
flies.
gnarly
Dude,
ballistic
it
coefficients.
was
They fly good.
so
So good.
fast at 150 grains. Like I had started shooting 178s, and then somebody was like, try these 150s. And it was like it flattened out, and it was like, because I was also shooting from it's like a 16-inch gun, which is
Not great.
not great.
In our PR class, we had a couple of 16s, department issue 16s for these guys. And yeah, they were great guns. They were Daniels.
Oh.
Great guns, but they you lose gas. You lose
Yeah.
gas real fast once you get to that 700,
I've got a
800
buddy
range.
making an SBR 8.6, and I got to be honest with you, that is, if you have the money, if you can afford it, 8.6 kills stuff really good.
Bro,
Yeah.
8.6. We've had whole
8.6
conversation. We've had
is
internal work
ridiculous.
conversations at Taurus talking about 8.6, where I've said things like murder nerd super caliber, for example.
So he buys his bullets from this place that like are very bougie, and like I think he's like $5 a round, but they like send out a kill book of what their rounds are doing, and I'm like, oh my, oh, and they're like, we're now releasing a 9mm version. I'm like,
But why? Does it not kill hard enough?
why would
Bro, I've
we've
seen.
killed him already. We can't kill him anymore. He is
Yeah,
still a
I've
weapon.
the stuff. The 8.6 is one of those projectiles that I'm like, I'm like, there's something in that defies the laws of conventional ballistics as we understand them,
Oh,
because
yeah.
it like I'm like because it it's it in many ways it's similar to 300 blackout, because like on paper a 300 blackout is like a 200 grain, 200 grain projectile going subs going 900 1,000 feet per second.
It
So is
sounds
a
like
40,
45,
but it
right?
kills way more deaderizer than 45. So and eight
Knowing
six
that
is
that's how mass impacts while changing mediums.
Knowing who built the 8.6, I know that very likely there was a group of like government types with long hair and beards and a briefcase full of money and
And
a
they're like, please make us a turbo murder, another turbo murder round, sir.
Hi, you have done good
We
with
like
the
your
turbo
small
murder in the
turbo murder
past.
guns.
However, we would like
We'd like something
big
that we could
turbo
big
murder.
turbo murder. And they're like, yes.
You know, but
We
that's an
would like
interesting
the big
thing.
small turbo murder. You have successfully the small turbo murder.
So, and that's interesting. And that actually kind of brings us back around to this hunting topic, because the 8.6 was validated as an effective round on animals in hunting, right? Like, well, that we know of. I haven't
Eh.
seen the
Briefcase,
classified,
money, long-haired government.
right.
I have no proof. I should say that. I have no proof that that's how the 8.6 came to be. I just have me a little old theory.
I also 100% agree with that theory. Please don't rendition us.
Not
But
again. The
not again.
Black Bags.
We all just get disappeared again. But what's interesting is that is if you look at the history of firearms development right up until the Global War on Terror, most rounds were validated in hunting before they made the transition over to military and law enforcement use. Like, think of the 357 Magnum. Smith and Wesson's marketing campaign
Oh.
for that round was to kill the North American Big Eight or whatever. Like, first off, that man shot a grizzly bear with a 357 Magnum. The balls on that guy.
Not ever.
No.
I don't think people
Talking about
understand
things you wouldn't do,
how
that hunt.
big a grizzly bear is. The North American black bear is an adorable creature. It is my size. Compared to a grizzly, it is a child. The idea of shooting a grizzly with a 357, actually anything handheld, I don't care what it is. If it can be held in one hand, I don't want to go against a bear with it.
Yeah,
Two hands
no.
only. Two
No,
hands on this
it
giant
must be a
smokestick, and I
hands
want it to be
gun.
able to shoot more than once.
Bruh, I like my friends are like, oh, like I got some friends who are moving to Montana and they're like, I'm gonna buy a 10 millimeter. And I'm like, I would buy a Beretta 1301 and keep it in the truck. And if Smokey had something to say about my picnic basket, I'm gonna give him 9 rounds of good news.
And those brass like Brennecke slugs that are just built like a brick shit house,
Bro,
100%.
I'll just straight up
Fast
flight control
and
number one.
energetic.
How would you like 6 rounds of flight control to the face, Mr.
Sir.
the
Yeah. And that flight control is plated, so it's gonna penetrate better.
Bear? Right.
As an aside to this, do you guys remember that survey that came out a while back where it was like 6% of respondents thought they could beat a grizzly bear in a fight? In a
Oh yeah,
hand-to-hand
the
fight?
largest animal
No, no.
you could fight versus like that animal's lethal. I love that chart. My
Yeah.
favorite one on there is the goose, because we clearly have a healthy respect for geese,
Yeah,
and
only
we are
61% of respondents thought they could beat a goose in a fight.
completely out there on who thinks they can take on bear and moose.
Yeah.
Like the two largest land mammals here in North America, the grizzly and the moose.
Oh,
And they're like,
80% of
yeah,
people thought they could beat a
there's like
silverback
5 or 6%
gorilla
percent. They're
in a
like, yeah,
hand-to-hand
if I could
fight.
take it.
So here's the thing. So
No,
8% of respondents
no.
thought they could beat a silverback gorilla in a hand-to-hand fight. 6% thought they could beat a grizzly bear in a hand-to-hand fight. So in this hunting lodge that I was at this past weekend, they had a grizzly bear that was mounted.
Yeah.
And I like, for science, put my head next to its paw, right? And I have, despite my diminutive stature, I've got a fucking bowling ball
You
of a
got, yeah, you
head.
got a monstrous
I
dome
have
on
got
you.
a melon. I wear a size 8 hat. The Air Force has to issue me XL helmets. This bear's paw is bigger than my head and could easily put the tip of the claw on my nose and wrap around to the back of my skull. So
So
you can't beat it in a fight.
one shui and Caleb is a head shorter. And he
I
can't afford
recently
that.
rewatched the movie Congo.
Oh my God. What an underrated classic. What
It's
a
so bad.
classic.
It's so bad.
But it's one of those movies that crosses the line from it because it is so unbelievably bad. It's fun.
They gun down so many monkeys.
They really do.
Oh my God. Oh yeah. You're talking about like how many gorillas can you take? There's a scene where like one dude's got like a machete and he's like, ah, I'm like,
Nope.
nah.
No. A silverback gorilla is just 800 pounds of muscle. It's just it. That's all it is. They
That
you have to
hasn't
use
figured
a
out powerlifting yet.
Nope.
Like, we have never introduced gorillas to performance-enhancing drugs and weight and bodybuilding training. Like, I'm just saying that, like,
I feel like we have movies about that.
we haven't reached the apex gorilla yet.
No, oh my God, could you imagine
Yeah,
that'd be like.
all we have is the lazy wants to lay about and do what they we have
Right.
we still have chill gorillas. That's
Right. Could
all
you
we got.
imagine if
We
we
have
put a
chill
gorilla
gorillas.
on Decaball and gave them like a protein heavy diet and taught them how to
Bro,
deadlift? Also, I don't
just
know what
imagine.
Decaball is, guys. I just made that word up. I don't know
Just
anything.
imagine them just like is sitting there eating his chicken rice and broccoli or
Just
marr.
getting. Also, can you imagine the protein
Power
farts that a gorilla
lifting
would
a
generate?
Yukon. Bro, all I can see right now is like the gorilla in the car at 6 in the morning going to do its cardio, doing the Sam Sulek routine, like it's another morning. Gorilla morning.
Love
We gotta
morning.
embrace the
Oh my God.
cut.
I would also like to point out that in the movie Congo, they have to use a laser to chop the super gorillas in half because of how violent they are.
There are so many problems going on in the movie Congo.
The greatest of which is that Muldoon is not in it.
Yes.
With a
That
law, because you know he wouldn't have fucked around with it. He would have been like, gorillas?
No, that would
And
have
you
been
want me
a
to bring
high
an
throw. That would have been like,
AK-47?
so there's like, there are like 12 porters in the crew, and they've all got like a big box, and those boxes never end. Like, they get to a river, like, oh my God, we're at a river. It's like, as it turns out, there are three giant boats in the boxes. It's like, what?
The
Oh, don't worry,
box of holding.
we have perimeter laser machine guns in the boxes and AK-47s. Like, what are in all these boxes?
Yeah. Also, I would not bring 7.62s to a gorilla fight. I certainly wouldn't bring an
Especially not by
AK.
39, the
Yeah.
neutered 7.62. No
I wouldn't
thanks.
bring baby's little 7.62 to this gorilla fight any more than I'd bring a 30-30. If I'm going after what caliber for gorillas, it starts at 308 Winchester, and that's the bottom end of it. That's the low end.
DSA, OSW, 30-round magazine, shuck shock. Mr. Harambe, get down.
Clearly, the answer is 8.6, as we've discussed.
Yes.
So just what? Shoo, you watch the back of the
And if
thing
you
come
can,
out.
same platform, 30-round magazine.
Other things
That's
that I would hunt
incredible.
gorilla with, Origin 12 short-barreled shotgun.
As the token Air Force guy, I would hunt gorillas with an airstrike. I'm like, oh, we have a cluster of them over here. Hang on, let's just do a gun run on these some bitches.
Jane Austen is so upset right now.
Just Oh
What's
man.
that? Gunship? Gunship.
And if at some point one of you are in the comment section about to say, like, you guys are so mean, gorillas are peaceful creatures, I would like for you to look up chimpanzee attacks woman. Go ahead and take your
And
safe
see
search
how
off for
many
that
results,
and look at the
unique
pictures.
results, there are, in fact, for that search.
And realize a chimp is a third of the size of a gorilla.
Yeah. Well, guys, that is, I think we've covered everything. If you're a hunter, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We don't really talk about this very often. I would like to reiterate that, again, I am not a hunter. I am a shooter who occasionally hunts, and I think these are all wonderful pastimes. If you guys would like more Gun Day Brunch, you should subscribe, like, share, support, all of those things. And yeah, we will be back next week.